And we're back for the beginning of hour two on this cool, maybe chilly evening here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a lovely 72 degrees here in Studio C. I don't know what it is where you are. In fact, because we enjoy the weather so much, wherever you are, please tell us in the chat room what the temperature is where you are. Because I think we should all share in that, don't you? I think that'd be great. Anyway, alongside me tonight, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. My name's Clayton McKee. That empty chair that if I do this, you'll be able to see. That empty chair over there, that belongs to Kat Carlson, who is out under the weather this evening. So she may be listening and maybe in the chat room later, she said, depending on if her meds wore off. So
we'll take you with the meds on, too, though.
Oh, that's a good time, yes. Everybody in the chat room, Jenny, Joe D. Harrison. Hi, Harrison, from Southern California. It's time for headlines. Let's see if we can do it. Well, this story made me think of Al immediately, and I said, well, we have to do it. We have to do this story. When a beloved Taco Bell in Montgomery, Alabama burned down last week, a lot of locals were very upset. They were shell-shocked.
Beloved.
They were taco shell-shocked. Uh-huh. Others like Katie James saw an opportunity to pay tribute. Her roommate, Russell Dallas, eats a lot of fast food, so when he told her that he was sad that the local Taco Bell had burned to the ground, James decided put his mind together and get some activity going. So what they did, he says, well, we should hold a memorial. We should hold a memorial for the Taco Bell, he said. Oh my gosh, we should hold a candlelight vigil for a Taco Bell. And then he moved on about his life, but didn't really think anything about it, he told the Montgomery Advertiser newspaper. He says, and about 10 minutes after the conversation, made a Facebook event entitled Candlelight Vigil for the Taco Bell, his friend said. Luckily, no one was injured in the fire, however. Investigators told local NBC affiliate WSFA that the blaze began in a small room holding electrical distribution equipment, so it was electrical fire. The vigil was held on Sunday, and there were no hotter ticket in the town. About 100 people came to remember the okay customer service and long wait line, the oh-so-delightful Baja Blasts and $5 quesadilla boxes, according to the Facebook event. James says he knows why the event appealed to so many people. It just gave people something to talk about other than all the negativity going around right now. I understand it. The owners of the Taco Bell do plan to rebuild. In fact, in the picture, I'll show you this picture.
We will overcome.
This is a picture of the fire. It was one of the newer Taco Bells that had been, you know, rebuilt. So it wasn't one of the old originals that you worked in. It was the rebuilt ones.
Arizona's first.
Yeah. So in the fire, they said that after the fire, says we are overwhelmed by the displays of support. The unnamed owners of the franchise said we are extremely thankful that no one was harmed early Wednesday morning when the store burned and that no firefighters were injured as they battled the flames that were during the fire that happened in single digit temperatures outside, which means all that water just froze. Immediately is what that means. But I thought this was cute. One of the people that tweeted out, Mary in Nashville, says that here's her long live Taco Bell. And here are some pictures of the people at the vigil. They're holding up candles and their phones in solidarity. But Al, I thought...
Jenny says... Jenny's from the OG for Taco Bell. No more Enchirito or Bell Beef or either. That fucking Bell Beefer.
That Enchirito was so good.
That was tasty, but that Bell Beefer was delicious.
I don't think I had a
Mexican Sloppy Joe.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And those soft buns that we had.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've talked about those on the show before, too, as we talked about your illustrious career. There was something else that...
I never remember the name of the Bell Beefer. I haven't been able to remember that name for
years.
There
was something that my mom used to eat a long time ago from there when I would run through, and I can't recall what it was, but they don't have it anymore. And I don't think
Tostada and an Enchirito were the two best things.
Do they even still do a tostada?
They don't do a tostada.
Maybe it's the tostada she used to have.
Delicious.
Yeah.
A beefy tostada. Let's not get crazy.
And then you get the people from like Oklahoma and the Midwest that would call them chalupas. I'm like, settle the fuck down. That's not a chalupa. It's a tostada.
No, a chalupa is very different.
Very different, I think.
It's almost like a fry bread show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'd be like, I don't like a chalupa. Wrong girl.
Not okay.
Wrong country.
Not okay.
Oh, but that Bell Beefer with green sauce was delicious.
Yes.
Simple. It was just a sloppy joe.
Enchirito, though. What was the enchirito?
Enchirito was a corn taco tortilla. A corn tortilla. With a scoop of meat inside of it, and then you rolled it over, flipped it over, covered it with sauce and cheese.
Oh.
So it was kind of like a poor man's...
I gotcha.
Tamale and shallot.
Joe, I agree, Joe. I'll send him a craving food.
I'm craving the stuff that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's the other sad part. Is right. I would do a Bell Beefer if they still had them.
Oh yeah. Oh, any time.
Maybe they could bring that back for just a limited run.
Yeah,
they
have to bring back the real ground beef too. Like that's not now it's whatever. Now it's boiled on a bag of beef. But back then it was like we ground that beef every day.
Yeah,
like terrible. That was fresh ground beef.
It's terrible.
And we made that spice every day too. We made that seasoning every single shift.
And now they don't.
No, it all comes.
It's all prepackaged.
It's all prepackaged.
Now that PepsiCo owns it all,
it's boil in a bag and you strain off the grease.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just not okay.
Not the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ms. Ryer, would you like to take a story?
Well, I sure would.
Well, all right.
So, as we had talked about, there was a little bit of difficulty on the side of the Minnesota Vikings learning how to play football. For the first time all season.
Apparently they didn't learn.
They did not learn. Not a goddamn lesson was had. Okay. But the fans, myself included, are still very good people.
Oh, right? Yes. Can't take
now,
that
the
away.
Philly fans, on the other hand, leave a lot to be desired. A lot to be desired.
Tell us.
So we're going there because I don't want to bag on people I don't know too much. I do appreciate...
Oh, I'll give you full license.
Well, thanks. I do appreciate the fact that there was a letter written to Amazon. Dear Amazon, anywhere but Philadelphia. And the letter goes, being from North Dakota, it takes a lot for us to get anywhere when we choose to fly. Longer layovers, fewer flight options, and bad weather all play a role. It just means we have more airport time. So I don't think you'll be surprised to learn that I'm not much of a fan of air travel or airports. Let me explain. Where's this going? Let me explain. I'm actually writing this letter to you en route home to North Dakota. Let's just say I've never been happier to be in the airport because, you see, that means I'm no longer in Philadelphia. I attended the NFC Championship game yesterday at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. As a longtime Vikings fan, I wanted my team to win. I wanted to see the Minnesota Vikings play in the Super Bowl in their hometown on their home field at U.S. Bank Stadium. And I wasn't the only one. There were Viking fans all across the country who were doing skull chants in their living rooms. A fair number of fans, including myself, my wife, my sister, and my nephew, found their way to Philadelphia. We stayed in their hotels, we rode in their cabs, we ate at their restaurants, shopped in their stores. In doing so, we spent a lot of our own money in their city, the city of brotherly love. We helped provide a short-term economic boost in the form of tourism, and personally, I was happy to do it, but I won't be back.
And that's hard to come by in January.
Sure, absolutely.
In Philadelphia.
But I won't be back. I won't ever spend another dime in that city. I'd rather it burns a hole in my pocket. It's a shame, really. If it were up to me, my grandkids would never go to Philadelphia. They would never get to see the Liberty Bell. They would never get to see the place where our great country started, where our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, two of the greatest pieces of American history. Get to it already, he's saying in parentheses. The reason for my letter is to explain to you that what I and numerous other Vikings fans experienced in Philadelphia as supporters of the visiting team, I have never seen such a display in my life. We had full beer cans thrown at us. We were shoved and spat upon. I was headbutted by a drunk Eagles fan. My wife and sister feared for their lives. And I've heard that, actually. That's not
was I going to see a Raiders
dramatic.
Game?
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, I would have no desire for that.
Another North Dakotan was beat up in a stadium. Bathroom. Just watch the videos. They're not hard to find. Where were the police, you ask? I'm asking myself that same question. Well, I did see some law enforcement officers. I saw one cop walk up to an Eagles tailgate and ask for a soda. He left with a red Solo cup filled with beer. I saw another cop witness someone being thrown to the ground, and he didn't so much as flinch. Keep moving, he said. I think I have your attention now. I repeat, I've never seen such a display. I'm 56 years old. I've been to Lambeau Field, Soldier Field, and countless other football stadiums. I know the passion that this game produces, but what is happening in Philadelphia is on an entirely different level. It's criminal, and the city, its leaders, and law enforcement are just letting it happen. This is almost done, but it's such a testament to the Donald Trump life that everyone is just kind of...
Any behavior is acceptable.
Exactly. Any behavior is acceptable. If you ask those in Philadelphia, I'm sure they'll call me a sore loser. Maybe visiting fans should just stay home. Oh, get over it, Vikings fan. Cry a little louder. That loss stings, yes, but the Eagles were the better team. They pummeled us. They won that game fair and square. There were no bad calls or dirty hits on the field. But it was in the stands and the tailgate lots and throughout the entire city, for that matter, where Philadelphia lost. Human decency was lost on Philadelphia. It brings me to my plea of you, Amazon, and your CEO, Jeff Bezos. Anywhere but Philadelphia. Do not build your $5 billion second headquarters in the city of brotherly love. Do not bring the stimulus of 50,000 new jobs there. As an Amazon customer, I want to continue to do business with your company. Please. Anywhere but Philadelphia. Which I thought was really interesting take.
That is an interesting take.
Because he's right. This has nothing to do with poor sportsmanship. I mean, this is, you know, on the teams, we lost, blah, 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 boo-hoo. Mm-hmm. No. This is just, I mean, they were throwing full beer cans at pregnant women. They were...
which is stupid because they can't drink it.
Well, there's that. Yeah. My God, drink, now a, you're just wasting drink liquor. That beer. They were going down, there was a wonderful story that that was done first in Minnesota about a 99-year-old woman named Millie, who had never been to a championship game. And so she was really excited to be at the game in Minnesota. And then what they came out with at the beginning of the game, for anyone who did see it, was a 99-year-old gentleman from Philadelphia who had never been to an NFC title game, right? So anyway, it was like these two lovely elderly people. And going down the streets in Philadelphia after the game were signs that people were holding like on sheets spread across the street saying, fuck Millie, and chanting, fuck you, Millie.
Oh, that's awful.
Right? I mean, it's just that kind of stuff. So I'm real hopeful for something like that, that it comes back. Because the guy's right. Lots of money was spent there.
Sure. Yeah.
Lots of money was spent there. And
if it turns into a thing like the Raiders had, we're like, no, you just, no one would go.
Right.
Like, you just don't want to go to a Raiders game because of the abuse. And like,
they tell you, do not wear your jersey. Like, if you go to a Raiders game or a Broncos game, do not wear your jersey.
Now, the question I have with regards to this Raiders thing is, because aren't they the ones moving to Vegas?
I've got that all confused.
Aren't the Oakland Raiders moving to Vegas?
I thought the Oakland Raiders moved to L.A., but I don't remember.
But aren't the Rams?
Oh, the Rams?
I thought...
Well, that's right. The Rams went back to L.A. The Chargers went to L.A. Yes, they are.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And they're becoming like the Bandits or the Gamblers or something.
So does that mean that the Raiders are, in essence, dead? Does that mean it's over? From the standpoint of what you're saying is they've got a reputation of all the people that follow them. It's like a gang sign.
Oh,
it's horrible.
It sure is.
And you don't know because it was bad in L.A. I'm pretty sure that when I saw them play the Bills, they were in the Coliseum. Okay. I don't think I went to see them in Oakland. And I heard the behavior got worse in Oakland.
In Oakland.
Not only from the team, from the fans.
Not the team at all. It's just the fans.
People will, and as creepy as this, but people will sit in the stands if you're from the other team and pee in their cup. They'll get a cup so that they can urinate in it as opposed to going to the bathroom because people have been taken out of there in stretchers. Because people are beating them up.
Yeah, and so they, I mean, not that I have any jerseys or anything, and it was just, I was in...
But you'd look stunning.
Hi, Bear.
I was in L.A., you know what I mean? I was in L.A., the chance came up to see a game, or I was with someone, I can't remember, somebody, maybe it was my sister or my other friend that goes to all the games, but there was some reason why we went specifically to that game, and I didn't have anything to wear, but they did. Mm-hmm. And somebody told us, like, just wear a shirt, just be quiet.
Be nondescript.
Yeah. Be nondescript, don't root for anybody.
And why are you at the game? Like, right? Not you, per se. But I'm just, like, if I'm going to go watch the Vikes play them, I'm not going to be
quiet. And especially when you hear about somebody, you know. Ugh.
Right. But it's absurd. And if my biggest concern is, because that's giving Philadelphia a huge black eye, right? A lot of this behavior.
And they're just starting to clean up their image.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? They're just trying to get it together.
And they're just getting worse right now. Like, it's just down.
They just got that airport back from a war zone.
That I didn't know.
Oh, it's the worst airport. That, until recently, was hell on earth. Like, when you would, because, you know, to fly to Buffalo before the Southwest Direct flight, you either had to fly Chicago, Pittsburgh, or Philly.
Okay.
And then take a puddle jumper the rest of the way to Buffalo. And, oh, my God. you'd be like, please God, not right. Philadelphia.
Anywhere but.
Anywhere but. Because Pittsburgh Airport, I used to say, was like the internet. If it doesn't exist in the Pittsburgh Airport, it just doesn't exist. Just like the internet. Like, if the Pittsburgh Airport was just a good time, you'd be going and be like, I can just stay here. There's no reason to leave the Pittsburgh Airport.
I can live here.
Come visit me here. We can have dinner. Sure. We can shop.
It's open 24 hours.
If they put a movie theater in there, it would have been finished. Right. It would have just been done.
Okay.
And, you know, O'Hare is its own personal hell, but at least there's stuff to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a...
I mean, when you'd land in Philadelphia, you'd be like, were there any survivors?
This lost.
Although the last time I flew into LAX, I was like, so terrorist attack? Like, what happened here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
There's been a lot of construction, flipping where they all go, and they're trying to reorganize all that shit now.
And you feel like, so where did the airport used to be?
How did this... Yeah, I'm just hoping that on February 6th, when we sit down here, that I'm not just shaking my head and... Ready to just cry about Minneapolis acting like,
because
you know.
The people are going to make a trip and they're going to go to the new stadium and they're going to be there in Minneapolis.
In their regalia, and they're going to have all their stuff on. And my deal is ignore the behavior.
Yeah.
Just ignore the behavior, Minnesota. Stay away.
Enjoy the fact that you have tourists in February, because when does that happen?
When does that happen? And enjoy the income that'll be coming in, and just ignore the behavior.
Because there's no getting around it. The money comes in, and it trickles down to all the right people.
But you're going to have your assholes
that
will want to retaliate. Yeah. And I'm like, no, just...
No matter who wins.
No matter who wins.
Oh, not about winning, but they'll just see the Philadelphia people there and be like, oh... what I mean? And go
after
them.
But what I'm saying is, regardless of the outcome of the game, it's either going to be, we're going to tear up shit because we won, or we're going to tear up shit because we lost.
Oh, Philadelphia, you mean.
She's talking about...
Margarine is a girl.
Yeah, Margarine, yeah. Margarine here is talking about the Minnesota people just instantly retaliating against...
No. I'm talking about...
I was
thinking of the people that are traveling from Philly to come over there and to be there at the game. They're bringing the same attitude.
And they're going to be just as drunk after that game.
Right.
But I'm kind of rooting for him if you're throwing stuff at Tom Brady. Yeah. Don't throw stuff at the fans. Throw it directly at Tom Brady's head.
For the way that they played, I mean, I mean, for real.
I'm just saying, if you're going to behave badly, focus your energy on Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, sure.
I mean,
pick a single victim.
If we can Nancy Kerrigan him. Stop. Just throwing it out there.
I don't wish anyone...
Why?
No, I just like him. The more I read about him for the last 55 years, however long that fucker's been playing football, the more my dislike for him is it burns with like the brightest of suns.
Justified.
That's fair.
He's just a douche.
Yeah.
And a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
And
all those things.
Just a privileged white.
Well, and you know that the dumpster fire is going to be there. Why would he not be at the Super Bowl?
Oh God.
No,
because of Brady.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't go last year, and Brady was in there. Brady still keeps it on the down low that they like.
I thought there was a big thing.
I found out that. Roethlisberger, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Ben Roethlisberger?
From
the Steelers.
The Steelers is the one that was bringing hookers and porn stars to Trump. Turns out he's in the bag, too.
Really? Oh!
Turns out not just a date rapist, but a total fucking tool, too.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. My boycott of football is getting more and more sincere.
Wow.
Like, they just need to retire Tom Brady and just bury him up to the neck on a shore. Is that too much? Is that too far?
Maybe
put some honey on his head.
I'm a little
sleepy.
All right. So, XPRIZE ends its $30 million race to the moon without a winner. The privately funded trip to the moon will have to wait. The XPRIZE Foundation is ending its Google-sponsored, so I guess that's the one problem, is when the sponsor drops off.
Right.
It's been a decade-long competition to land a robot on the moon without choosing a winner. This means none of the five final teams will get the $20 million grand prize or the additional $10 million in other prizes. The nonprofit says it's still figuring out what will happen next, adding that it might find another sponsor to fund the contest instead of Google. It did expect a winner by now, 10 years later, but said that none of the teams will try to launch before the March 31st deadline. It added that the competition ended because of the difficulties of fundraising, technical, and regulatory challenges. Because you're going to the fucking moon, assholes.
Right.
The goal of the competition was to stimulate private space travel entrepreneurship. All successful trips to the moon have been government-funded, and moon based activity has been mostly scientific in nature, but private space travel could potentially enable different projects, the moon-based tourism or mining. To win the contest, a team had to land an unmanned spacecraft on the moon, wander around the surface for 500 meters, and beam videos and photos back to Earth. The deadline for doing so has been pushed back a couple times. I got excited by this story because I thought this was about some asshole winning a trip to the moon and be like, wander around 500 feet, come back to us.
Here's a flag.
Take a picture.
There's a car up there if you can find it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get a car.
I'm pretty sure. You win a car.
It's 501 meters from the vehicle.
No. Excuse me. Point of order. Bear Walker in the chat room. I don't know if you've lost your mind, your glasses. Are you holed up in a Motel 6 somewhere because of snow? But the fact that you're claiming that I'm looking rather buff is humorous to me. Because this is
You look good.
I'm eating pimento cheese spread that my mother made with club crackers.
I say with a fork.
There's nothing healthy going on here. But thank you. I mean, I don't know if it. Plus, I blend into the black chair, so I just don't know if it...
Is the B next to the R? Yeah. On,
I could be looking rather rough. I see.
Oh, it's funny.
Just kidding.
Oh, Bear's like, shut up,
my
Clayton.
Favorite response to that is, get thee to a lens crafters.
You can see this in about an hour.
So I was hoping this was like the Mars thing, where like... But I guess if you go to the moon, you can come back. Whereas Mars...
Much closer.
Yeah, that's a couple miles.
Sure.
It's like two blocks that way and then one over.
Yeah, in Al's direction.
Yeah. No, you can walk there. We can just walk.
Sure, come on.
Is there a Waze app for that?
I'm sure there is. For real. In fact, speaking of Waze, I just said that to him. I see Bear Walker more often... on the Waze app, like when I drive around town, it pops up. It tells you who your contacts, like if it knows your contacts from either, I don't know if it's your phone or from Facebook or where it picks it up from, but it'll come up and say, you know, your contact, Bear Walker's online, and you can hit up a button and beep at him or whatever. So contacts pop up, but he's always on
Road Runner.
He's all over the place.
I love it. Hello, Nan.
You can hit a button and wave at, like beep at him, say like, hey girl,
hey.
You so extra, Bear Walker.
Because he was driving around in the Midwest. He was in northern Kansas.
I got to get a beer.
They're right there.
I know.
Actually, Bear Walker was in, he was at the extreme northern border of the Kansas State. And he checked in somewhere. He had driven, I believe, and our condolences, I believe he was coming home from his father's funeral, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry, Bear.
So he had stayed overnight in a... in a Motel 6 or something, I forget what it was, but I saw the post on Facebook and I had to look it up. I'm like, where in the hell is this city? It's a tiny city in northern Kansas. Jenny, you're a kind person there. That's very nice of you.
I like it.
Please remember that all of my photos, except for the one you're seeing right now, are photoshopped because I have a great photographer. Look at Al pouring a beer look at you.
That's fantastic.
That literally, he turned water into beer because that was a water glass 10 minutes ago.
That's right.
Don't doubt my fucking powers.
Mama
needs a drink.
Well, as jokes go, this one's pretty chill, and I'm sure several of you have seen this on the news and the interwebs, but a Montreal, that'd be in Canada, or Canada, depending on how you look at it.
The beautiful country of Canada.
A Montreal man pulled a fast one on local police this month when he created a replica of a DeLorean sports car. DeLorean sports car featured in the movies Back to the Future. His name was Simon Laprise, built an icy imitation in a snow removal zone outside of his home, according to CBS affiliate WGCL. A police officer was fooled by the car snowman, if you will, and called another cop for backup. They eventually realized it was fake and gave him a faux parking ticket. But here is what he'd put out in front of his house. In a snowbank, he carved a car.
Oh. One, it's time to move. And two, that's cool.
It is cool.
Why is it time to move? Oh, because of fucking snow?
All the snow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
because there's enough snow that you're making car-sized sculptures.
The follow-up to the story says the prank might have warmed the hearts of the police and other people, but sanitation workers reportedly plowed through it the next day.
Well, we're all gonna die.
But you know why he can't move? He got health care up there. He's gonna stay there because that country cares. Ms. Ryer.
Yes. Joe, we have to address the wine situation.
Oh,
because
by.
Of the convenience of the fridge next to me, last week I drank the entire bottle of wine without realizing it.
Yeah, got here and, well, usually during the day sometimes he'll text and ask what supplies are still here, but today didn't happen. So
boldly confident that
yes,
there was half a bottle of it, but it was that Puy Fousse, and it does go down like a...
Now, if you'll recall, there's vodka and cranberry juice in the other fridge.
Oh, I know.
But you have to walk to it. I know. Yeah. God damn.
Sons of bitches.
Oh, Ryer, what you got?
Well, have you ever heard of a poop knife?
Yes! Because I saw the story.
Oh, God.
Because I saw the story.
Swear to God, that made me hold my breath. Clutch my pearls. Oh, what is he talking about?
I wasn't trying to be extra.
I saw this story.
Also, we needed a drinking word.
Poop knife, is that it?
No, so extra.
Oh, Clayton, you did. You had me a little startled.
But I refused to read the story because I saw where it was going.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, no, we're done.
Oh, bring it home. Tell me.
Oh, no, right. I don't want you to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, no.
So when I heard about this so-called poop knife, I thought it had to be a phrase from like Cards Against Humanity or something. You know, unfortunately, I was very much mistaken. The poop knife was shared with us by a Reddit user named Learned Butt. And I'm equally confused and disgusted. This can't be a common thing, can it?
If I can find a picture.
His story begins with sharing how his family has some sort of genetically enhanced super pooping thing. I don't know. Don't look at me. Things only seem to get stranger as the entire story begins to unfold, and I'm just hoping Learned Button his family is the only one, the only family with this poop knife, you know? So Learned Butt says, you know, as we like to call him, my family poops big. Maybe it's genetic, maybe it's our diet, but everyone births giant logs of crap.
Jesus
if anyone
Christ.
Has laid a mega poop, you know that sometimes it won't flush. It lays across the hole in the bottom of the bowl, and the vortex of draining water merely gives it a spin as it mocks you. Growing up, this was common enough occurrence that our family had a poop knife. It was an old rusty kitchen knife that hung on a nail in the laundry room, only to be used for that purpose.
And you had to walk from the laundry room back to the bathroom?
It was normal to walk through the hallway and have someone call out, hey, can you get me the poop knife? It was, I thought it was a standard kit.
I would move.
Totally. You have your plunger, you have your toilet brush, and you have your poop knife.
Well, I think if you if you don't use the utensils correctly, you're going to have a bigger problem on your hands.
If you go
plunger first rather than poop knife, oh dear God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah.
So fast forward to 22, and it's been a day or two between poops, and I'm over at my friend's house. My friend was the local dealer and always had guests over because you can't buy weed without sitting on your ass and sampling it for an hour. I excuse myself
and lay a
gigantic turd. I look down and see that it's a sideways one. So I crack the door and call it to my friend. He arrives and I ask him for his poop knife. My what? He says. Your poop knife, I say.
My what?
I need to use it. Please. The fuck is a poop knife? His friend, the dealer, as it were, you know, ass. Obviously he has one, but maybe he calls it a more delicate name. A fecal cleaver? A dung divider.
Oh my God.
God, I bet Kat's happy she's missing this show.
I explain what it is I want and why I want it. He starts giggling, then laughing, then lots of people start laughing. It turns out the music stopped and everyone heard my pleas through the door. It also turns out that none of them had poop knives. It was just my fucked up family with their fucked up bowels. I told this to my wife last night, who was amused and horrified at the same time. Turns out that she did not know what a poop knife was and had been using the old rusty knife hanging in the utility closet.
Stop.
As a basic utility knife. Thankfully, she didn't cook with it.
Oh, God.
But used it to open Amazon boxes.
Oh!
She will be getting her own utility
Welcome
knife
to Philadelphia.
Now. A common question. Why was this not in the bathroom instead of the laundry room?
Right.
One asked. Well, we only had one poop knife, and the laundry room was central to all three bathrooms. I have no idea why we didn't have three poop knives. All I know is that we didn't. We had the one. Possibly because my father was notoriously cheap about the weirdest things. So, yes, we shared our poop knife. Now, for the most part, people seem to be shocked by these gross antics. I'm sure almost everyone has a similar reaction when reading this, and that is, what the fuck? I could be wrong, though. There seems to be a fair amount of people who shared that they, too, have some form of poop utensil. Is this a secret that I don't know about? Like, do my best friends have poop knives? Where do you keep it? So many questions that I don't think I want the answers to. Either way, there was a shocking number of people who feel learned butts antics aren't too far-fetched.
Where do you keep your poop knife?
Well.
I hate that it comes over in the first thing.
I'm with you,
take
Harrison.
A shit.
Yeah, my fucked up family and their fucked up bowels.
I mean, healthy.
But healthy, apparently.
Full of fiber.
Oh, that's gross.
For real. I don't know what to tell you.
Do not do laundry at their house when there's a poop knife hanging there.
No.
At eye level.
No. Poop knife is barbaric, somebody said. Our family uses poop scissors.
Oh. What the fuck is wrong with German people? Scheiser videos, you know
other
what I mean?
Families use spatulas, apparently.
Oh,
and they call
stop,
it the shatula.
That's funny.
The what?
The shatula.
Shut up. This is not
damn,
right.
Damn, no wonder your computer's broken. It's I'm the not. Internet site you visit.
I'm telling you.
Your computer is trying to tell commit you something. Suicide.
I'm telling you.
Trying
it's
to tell you something.
It's a true story. It's a true story that is probably why my Mac is on the attack.
That sounds well.
Yes.
When wow. I, yeah. Oh, wow.
God bless me. That's all.
Well, welcome aboard.
Does anybody else have any kind of... No.
Nope, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. And I wouldn't keep it in my laundry room.
Nope. I'm just saying. I just thought I'm asking just like learned butt.
Yep. I mean, is this yeah, no.
You know,
I
there's
can't.
Some stories you just don't have a comeback to.
No. Nope.
You just got to move on. You just got to move on.
You just got to move on. Okay, so Santa just is white famous Megyn Kelly is in some kind of on her own feud with Jane Fonda.
Oh, she is. She is because... Oh.
No, Jane Fonda made it onto that shit show of a daytime...
Santa just is white.
There yeah. you go. Mm-hmm.
She made it onto the... Jane Fonda wandered onto the Megyn Kelly show for something. And...
I don't...
I can't remember what the original thing was about, but Megyn Kelly made it about plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a new correct. Series that Jane Fonda was promoting. I don't remember the name of it, but I heard a little bit about the story. She was,
yeah, and it was... I mean, it was about... So she was pushing something and it turned into like this plastic surgery and Megyn Kelly thought she was going to give her a
it was a series about being young or being feeling young or something. That's what got them there.
Well, I mean that kind of makes sense.
But still
it was just kind of uncomfortable, and of course Megyn Kelly was trying to make it sound like she was just trying to give her a chance to help younger women make decisions about plastic surgery. Bullshit. You were just out there trying to score points. And what the fuck is Jane Fonda doing? Well, because she's now under the auspices of NBC mm-hmm. and the Today Show, sure. that you think she's not going to still be a cunt. But Megyn Kelly just can't help it. So Jane Fonda has been on... she was on the Today Show with the new hosts, Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb. And in a Variety interview... Jane Fonda has said that Kelly's question was so inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So now at the end of Megyn Kelly's show, she went to this like close-up, kind of in the way she did when she talked about like sexual abuse in the workplace or sexual mm-hmm. harassment in the workplace because of everything that was happening at Fox
sure,
News,
with else,
that she
right.
was on women's side for the first time in her fucking life.
Right.
So she like stood and faced the camera and said, "I have no regrets about that question, nor am I in the market for a lesson on what is or is not appropriate." The woman whose name is synonymous with outrage, honestly, she has no business lecturing me on what qualifies as offensive. And then she goes into like the whole Hanoi Jane from like
right.
almost 50 years ago.
Movie she and Robert Redford did.
What? Oh, that's right. It was she and Robert Redford were just in a movie this past fall.
Right. Yep.
I forgot
yep,
about that. Yep. So that's all right, of a Mama sudden, died. The Thank Vietnam you. War is back 50 years later, and Megyn Kelly has decided that that's what she's going to bring up.
Sure.
So,
and the look on Jane Fonda's face when she says, "We're going to talk about that," like What the fuck? It's literally. I wish Jane would have said that.
Yeah. So, I mean, The View got into it, and Joy Behar was like, Jane should have just said to her, and how much work have you had, bitch? And then Joy came back later in the show and apologized for calling her a bitch because she's met Megyn Kelly a few times and thought that that was inappropriate lady bashing. And then Whoopi Goldberg brought up Kelly's own past controversies, and Whoopi Goldberg says, Megyn, if I can forgive you for telling all of my friends' black children that Santa is only white, you can step back. Because you made a mistake. We all make mistakes. You've got to lighten up, babe. Jane made a mistake, and she's copped to it, and as she had said, that will haunt her to her dying day. She's aware, believe me, and she knows how Fox News has used that and how it's portrayed her. She knows, and she's doing her best, but for you to do that is so not you. So...
Santa just is white.
Right. So for this cunty Ms. McCuntstein to all of a sudden, like, just be on Jane Fonda for the Vietnam War, like, shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, the Megyn Kelly, and one of the best things about it, I love year-end wrap-ups. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with them. I did have an obsession. I forgot about that. So I love reading year-end year-end wrap-ups,
sure.
Like the best of the year, the worst of the year, the moments you can't forget, the things that, like, you can't stop watching, yep. Like Poop Knives. Right. And the one thing that everyone agrees on is how bad the Megyn Kelly hour of the Today Show is. And everyone is like, how can they buy out this contract? Like, it's so awkward and uncomfortable. I only watched two episodes and I'm like,
I haven't seen any of them.
It's just, she's trying to be human and right. The people from Fox didn't program her like that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
She's not.
And it just,
exactly
she
right.
doesn't come across, she has no moments where you think she has any sense of humanity.
Even right. watching there's the promotions no for it, when she does there's a little teaser, yeah. you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, and when they did that whole, like, this is me, I know, she was reinventing herself and, like, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs mm-hmm. were yeah, following no, her around,
fuck
like,
her.
The Maritime Moore theme, and you're just like, oh, you're missing, like, your people, just go right. back to your maker and have them try one more time.
Roger Ailes is dead yet now, so she
yeah.
can't.
Yeah, she yeah, exactly.
She can't go back to the
Geppetto
maker.
Geppetto or whatever yep. his name is died.
Yes. So
she'll,
like
she'll never right. be a real girl. And it really
well, she
is.
She's a Stepford. She's a total Stepford wife.
Yeah. And, like, even when she when it came to that thing about, like, harassment and trying to, like, stand up for women,
right.
it just kept ringing of, you've done nothing but be anti-women
right.
for the bulk
so
of your career.
Little too much, too sure. much, too little, too late.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, just...
yeah nobody's believing in you.
Yeah.
No,
no.
No, I would love to see
and
NBC get out of that.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, there's never a it's never too late to do the right thing. So it's good that she, like, tries, but at the same time, you'd be like, if you were, like, holding hands with her or anything, you'd be like,
no.
Speaking of other things that NBC has gotten themselves into that they shouldn't have, last night on Colbert, by the way, were you done with your story, Mr. Perkins?
Yeah, that was
okay. Last night on Colbert, mm-hmm. and by all means, it's online. You can find it. It was fun to watch. Ann Curry was a guest on Stephen Colbert, and she is 63 years old. Looks fantastic.
I did not know that.
63. Yeah. She's got over four, coming up on four decades as a reporter in the media. But what was interesting is, so in light of everything that's going on, Colbert asks her, so do you have any comments on the Matt Lauer situation? And she kind of smiles. She's like, no, I don't. And he goes, do you have a non-disclosure? And she goes, yeah, but I can talk about some things. And he goes, well, what exactly is the non-disclosure? She goes, not that. Well, it was a very cute how she dodged and went around some stuff. But he then brought up, he goes, did you hear when this all happened? Did you hear about the... And by the way, for those of you who don't know where I'm going with the story, Ann Curry was on the Today Show on NBC. Another mm-hmm. mistake that NBC let happen, that they let her get away because dumbass, basically, he forced her out of the show.
Yeah, he didn't like her.
He didn't like her at all. So, anywho, Colbert says to her, well, did you know about the somewhere Ann Curry is thing that happened? She goes, well, I heard a little about it. But really, you know, she knew everything about it. So he pulled up a thing of all of the tweets where it says, Somewhere in the world, Ann Curry just added vodka to her, or champagne to her orange juice.
Yeah.
The whole thing about all of the things were, because when Lauer got kicked out, I figured there was a celebration that happened somewhere for Ann Curry because she got just muscled out of the entire Today Show because Lauer didn't like her at all.
I did.
And
not
I love. I
that,
always loved Ann Curry.
Oh,
I didn't pay any attention.
Oh,
to
got
I didn't know
shoved
that.
Clear out
oh,
of there.
Oh, and it was so awkward. Her goodbye.
Yeah.
And then
like
he
how
was,
long ago was like that? Literally they came
two
back from a
commercial. Okay.
Like they came back from a commercial break and she was just gone. Like it was so horrible.
I feel
horrible.
Like you guys talked about that.
And
I
think he goes, like, but I think he went to like hug her and oh, find it on YouTube. It's so awful. But when you find it on YouTube and he goes to like give his like fake support exactly. And yeah, she just like, it's kind of like Melania, slapping the hand away.
So it was very cute. Again, if you can find it online, Colbert, The Late Show with Colbert and Ann Curry. And it was very cute about how she dodges and goes around this little thing. And it was very cute. But anyway, NBC is fucked up. They did that with Deborah Norville.
Yep.
They screwed up that with the whole bringing Deborah Norville in and pushing Jane Pauley out.
Plot.
They did that. And then they did it with Ann Curry. And now, finally, they got dumbass out. Now, I don't recall if I'm not. I don't think Lauer was there for the Deborah Norville thing. I think that goes back to Gumbel because Jane Pauley was there. Pauley was never there with Matt Lauer.
With Gumbel. They're separated.
So they're separated
by like a decade.
And by the way, for those of you that care, I love Jane Pauley. I always have. I thought she was great.
Yeah.
Yep. Jane Pauley now is the, if you don't know, she's the host of CBS Sunday Morning. So every morning you can watch the two hour show. Sure. It's all happy news. Like it's all good news, good things. Anyway, she's oh yeah, mom, don't watch her show, won't read her book. There's no point to it.
And Jenny, a lot of people that I know have read her book and say good things about it. I just can't bring myself to do that because everything about her just kind of ugh.
Yeah, and all I hear is her screaming, "Santa just is white." Right. So I'm completely biased.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's
Santa just is white.
Yeah, there it is. That's exactly it.
All day, every day. I noticed in the old chat room up there, Jenny was asking about the refrigerator. Was a little confused about the vowel memorial. It's the vowel, and I'm going to show you. This is here's a picture. It's a little refrigerator in the corner of the studio now that Al can just reach right over and get beverages out of, and apparently last week it was so close that he literally drank all of his wine. But anyway, there's a picture of the fridge. It used to be a refrigerator that my mom had in her office back in the day, and here is the name placard on it. It is the Val Perkins Memorial Refrigerator.
Which makes better sense.
And as Joe pointed out in the chat room, and we all know, the memorial is silent.
It is. Absolutely. Very much so. Absolutely silent.
Well, moving on to other fun stories. I swear, some people you just have to love. A photo editing battle has erupted.
Are there other choices?
You're right.
Not Megyn Kelly.
No. Right.
A photo editing battle has erupted over this somewhat unsettling snapshot of President Dumbass with his face on a stack of German newspapers. Now, to show you what this startup looking like, that's... It's above the fold, like at the fold is where his mouth is, right? So that meme grew into...
That's fantastic.
Grew into, I think this is the... That's the actual shot of a stack of papers that were just there. Clearly the fold makes it look funny, and that's how it looks. Well,
that's awesome.
People got to working on the old Photoshop, and they went on and did some pictures of their own. They put him in this one.
That's awesome.
Al's busy reading. So they put Trump in that one.
The scream.
They put Trump in this one. They did it. This, I don't know if this is another famous picture that they've put that in. I'm not sure if it's painting. This one made
I'm not sure either.
This one made me laugh.
Fox News debate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Put him in that one.
Ugh.
This one I loved. I was laughing at this one. This one's cracked me up because he's Hamburglar.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And this one was in the series, but it doesn't make sense because it's not the same picture. But I have to show it because I love it so much from the standpoint of he's not Canadian yet. They've got him in there.
Yeah, with the Canadian head.
The Canadian head, because in all of the South Park series, the Canadians' heads are separate like that.
Yep.
that's funny. I don't know why that was in there, but
that
it was.
Obama is disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all how they all are, but I love what the South Park people do with the Canadian people. I've got to someday play that footage of as is as is with tradition. The prince is sticking his arms in butterscotch pudding, as is with tradition. And they do this whole thing with the wedding. It just cracks me up.
The last 2 weeks, love it or leave it. Love it or leave it. Respected on both sides. I watch it so much I know the theme song. I watch it. Listen, the podcast Love It or Leave It has been on fire so far for 2018. Right? I had given up on podcasts for a little bit because I have found their politics to be not funny anymore. Like, I just could not find my way to a humorous angle to all of this.
Okay.
Like, just anything political, and I just want to, like, light my hair on fire and go screaming into the night. But luckily, Love It has brought it back. The most recent one was live the night from last Friday with the shutdown. That was hysterical. Well, then they did a show in London. I think it was like a week old. I don't think it was older than a week old.
Okay.
And I'm gonna forget his name. I gotta look it up. From the British office, Stephen, whatever his name is.
Oh, Fry?
No. The other Stephen, the really, really tall, awkward guy.
Sondheim.
let me find his name. But he's there. They have some British people, including one comedian, British comedian, who was in the audience for the first show, and they invited him on stage for the second show.
Oh.
Like, they were so excited to see, like, somebody, a famous British comedian, sitting there. They're like, what the fuck? Come be on the panel.
Come on, right.
So, give me a second, because he is one of the funniest people. He's from Hello, Ladies, but why can I not think of his name?
Yeah. Stephen Fry is the one that I...
And for those of you wondering...
Stephen Fry is very... It is also very funny.
For those of you wondering, it's not Love It or Leave It like the TV show about houses. It's Love It. Love It's the last name of the gentleman who does the podcast.
Oh, his name is Stephen Merchant. I thought that was wrong.
Okay, so... And his name is John Lovett, right? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's... Unfortunately, they both have names... From Crooked Media. They both have names of other famous people.
Other people, right.
Right.
Because he always has to say not that one.
Yes.
Yeah,
because it's John Lovett, I'm like, wait a minute.
Right,
and
right.
There's, and there's John Favreau that's not John Favreau.
Right. Yep.
But they were Obama speechwriters. They now have Crooked Media, and they do Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Pod Save the World. I think they have like four or five podcasts on there, okay. And they're all funny. They do their own commercials. But Stephen Merchant, who's just reliably funny, is in the audience, and at some point... He talks about his past working for the BBC and how the BBC just goes out of their way to present a balanced argument at all times, and then it just reaches an absurd level to balance out content. So he would just, anytime a story was coming up about American politics, he would just be like, and as a member of the BBC, I must do this. And he would like give you the counterpoint to make to justify whatever horror was being talked about. But with that British smarmy humor, it was so perfect.
And again, this is Love It or Leave It. What was the name of it?
It's not the newest.
It's Live from London.
I think it's Live from London. But oh my God, if they were smart, they would have called it London Calling. But I don't know if they did.
But they can't hear you right now, so.
Yeah. So I have one more. Are we doing?
Please.
Okay.
No, go ahead and do your headline.
Marty, you have a happy story.
Go ahead.
Tammy Duckworth will be the first senator to give birth while in the Senate. She told the Chicago Sun-Times that she's expecting her second child in April. She had her first child. That's really soon. She had her first child, a daughter named Abigail, while serving in the House. The senator staff confirmed the baby news to USA Today. They're thrilled that they're getting a little bigger. This isn't the first for Duckworth. She was also the first disabled female to take a seat in the U.S. House. She's a retired lieutenant colonel who served in the Iraq War, where she lost both her legs when her helicopter was shot down in 2004. She was elected to the Senate in 2016, and she has been on a tear lately, calling Trump a draft dodger, and she has had some shit to say about Donald Trump lately. Yes, and there is a thought going around the world in the political specter that she's gunning for a vice presidential. Like, she is making herself vocal and seen enough so that when 2020 comes around, I don't think she's known enough to be the top of the ticket, but I mean, there's still, we have a couple years to go,
right.
But they're saying like she is the prompt, like whoever gets the top spot, she is on the short list for like
VP.
You can't argue with like combat veteran, very smart, accomplished, experienced in the government, from all sides. Like, she's just well liked, except by Trump.
Oh, because of her most everybody's not
because of her lady parts.
Yep,
she's an extra woman. Well, and he doesn't like people who serve that like lose limbs and stuff. He wants you to come back fully intact.
Well, it's just like McCain,
right? Exactly.
If you get
like war heroes that aren't captured. Dickhead.
Exactly.
I like people that go to war that don't get injured.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, she...
I like
she
people went, that go to war. How about that? Yeah. We don't like you, bone spur. Yeah.
And she went off.
That's good.
Awesome.
So,
yeah,
good for her.
Oddly, I don't know why, but I did not know that about her disability. I didn't realize that. I don't know why I never knew that, mm-hmm. but I didn't, because it's really not a focal point in her politics. To me,
and
it's not.
And we've come so far in the story that becomes... Doesn't a back burner matter. Thing. Like, right. once you're introduced to her, it doesn't come up very often anymore.
Wasn't it back in the day Roosevelt? That one of the big things was about him being in the chair.
Right.
Oh, to not be seen in the chair.
To not be seen, and that was a weakness. And then mm-hmm. flash forward to JFK. And no one could know about his back.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff.
And his weakness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being Catholic.
Well, and now
that was another issue.
The biggest handicap.
But. And now it's the time of like it's not the defining thing about her in any way,
right.
shape, or form.
Exactly.
No.
Well, look at Bob Dole. I didn't realize.
Wow. Did you just see the?
You just thought he really needed a pen.
No.
Wow.
No, but just the idea that I knew that he had that issue with his arm. I just didn't realize how much he had done. I didn't realize
he was part bionic.
He had gone through.
Right.
Yeah, that was. And interestingly enough, I don't want to give Dickbag any credit, but for the first time that I've ever, and I'm not talking as president, I'm saying in general, he actually seemed interested in what Bob Dole was saying.
Like he paid attention to
it? Like he paid attention. Oh. Like, and that he smiled at the right times, and like it didn't seem teleprompterish and nothing. Not that he was speaking. He was truly just listening.
So he is capable of listening.
That's a moment of clarity.
It appeared that way.
Well, Parkinson's does that to you.
And
Alzheimer's does that to you. Not Parkinson's. I was thinking of Neil Diamond.
He may have been, which I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about before, and then I just
just found that out. Well, we're going to talk about it in entertainment. In fact, let's go over what Al's got coming up in entertainment right now.
Oscars. Who will win? Oscar. Who will win? So the Oscar nominations came out. The PGA Awards were announced. The SAG Awards were this weekend. So we have, a couple clear front runners and a little couple snubs and surprises. And then we quickly have a new television obsession that I know because of the writer-producer is going to go off the rails at some point, or it may not. But it's on the air, and it's worth... The first episode is very worth watching, so I got to pee.
Okay. We'll be back right after this. It's hour three. Al starts it off with entertainment right after this. Stick with us.
Educate. Syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
You're listening to Q Talk America.